Did Israel reject Jesus 1900 years ago? We're still answering that question. This is part 4, and we are in John 15. It is sad, but scores of the verses in the Gospel of John, which, by the way, as most of you know, is one of the Gospels or portions of the Scripture, which is often printed separately, and it's been printed separately in millions of copies and distributed all over the world. But many of these verses are completely ignored or misunderstood as they relate to the Israel people. John 1:11 is misunderstood or misapplied, as is John 15 and verse 23, which apparently is ignored, where Jesus Christ said, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." A great truth of Christ that those who do not accept Jesus Christ and who actually hate him also hate God. Now, if we believe that Jesus Christ spoke the truth, then we cannot believe the propagandists called ministers who tell us, well, the Jews love the God of the Old Testament, it's just that they haven't recognized Jesus as their Messiah. Not so. Jesus Christ said that they hate him, therefore they hate God. He goes on, "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." And here, of course, Jesus is speaking of those who hated him. And we saw, by reading in Psalm 35 and Psalm 69, that David, in writing those, identified the ones who would hate Jesus as the enemies of God. The enemies of God. And the Israel people, of course, are never identified as the enemies of God. They could only be, in the Gospel of John, where they're called Jews, they could only be the Edomite Jews, in contrast to the Israelite Judeans who then came to know and love Jesus. They would have to be the Canaanite Jews who hated Jesus and the Father. He goes on to his own disciples in the next verses. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Who was to receive the Comforter? The Holy Ghost, which would then testify to the person who received it, of Jesus Christ. But the Israel people. Who was to be the witnesses to Jesus Christ? Well, the Israel people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, if we do not believe that the Gentiles, as we know them, who are the Christian nations, are the Israel people, then we are saying that everything that Jesus said here, prophesied, promised, and told these disciples, has not come to pass. In other words, it was all false, it was all futile, it was without power and without works. Let's go on. In the next chapter, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." Now, he must have been talking about the ones who hated him and hated God, who had actually put who to death? Well, Israelites who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the God-haters have killed millions of followers of Christ all down through the last 1900 years. If it is true here what Jesus said, that came to pass, then it would be the haters of God who killed what? Believing Israelite people. And yet we're told by the church that all of the martyrs to Jesus in the last 1900 years were non-Israelites. They were some sort of a Gentile people. That's not what the Scripture says at all. Verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now, he's talking to his Israelite disciples. "I will send the Holy Ghost to you, Israel people." Verse 13 and 14. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit in the Israel people was to glorify Christ in the days after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Verse 29. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb or parable. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Does this sound like rejection by the Israel people? Hardly, and it makes one wonder how anyone can read this far in John and accept the falsehood that the Israelites rejected Christ when he came 1900 years ago. John 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now this is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, praying to God the Father prior to his death and resurrection. He's praying for his Israelite disciples. I'm going to read a few of these verses, and you consider that common teaching today that these Israelites all turned and went back to an Antichrist religion denies everything that Christ said in this prayer. I'll just read a few of the verses. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And we discussed this reuniting of the Israel people, the sheepfolds, into one sheepfold. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. The Israelites were to be sent into the world, literally, in place of Christ, in the age to follow. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus was praying for the Israelites who would hear the Israelite disciples. Verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus Christ ended this tremendous prayer that the Spirit and the love of that was in Jesus would be in the Israel people, and that Jesus would be in them. And foolish ministers tell our deceived people today that all of this was of no consequence, none of this came to pass, the Israelite people all turned away, and they don't have the Spirit of Christ in them anymore. Now the Edomite Jews went ahead and crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to go into this in great detail because I have covered this subject in my tract, Who Killed Christ? So we'll just skip through here and read a few verses. In John 18 and verse 3, Judas, then having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Verse 10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? In other words, the reason why the Israelites did not fight to save Jesus' life from the Edomite Jews was because Jesus ordered them not to. Who were the people here in opposition? On one side were the Pharisees trying to put to death the Israelites, wanted to save him, and he told them, no, this must come to pass. Then the band and the captain and officer of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. And then, of course, the story of the crucifixion. In my tract, Who Killed Jesus or Who Killed Christ, I have covered this to show that not only did not the Israel people crucify the Christ, but neither did the Romans. It was not the Roman soldiers, but actually the soldiers of the Edomite Jews who nailed Christ on the cross. Verse 35, Pilate answered to the Christ, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And remember, the word Jew is from Judean. Pilate was a Roman. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. All the way through the Old Testament, the Israel people are called God's servants, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. In other words, Jesus commanded Israel not to fight to save him because he had to be delivered to the Edomite Jews. Let's turn over to Ephesians 2. Again, I read this last week, and after I did, I thought perhaps I should read it again because I want to show you one of the greatest ways in which modern Israel is deceived by what they think is the Christian church. Now, many hundreds of thousands of Americans and other people in other Christian nations are beginning, just beginning, to look at the Jew in America and in Christendom and his unbelievable criminality, his filthy sexuality, and the anti-Christ mentality which they all show, and some of these people are beginning to wonder, how in the world can those people be Christ's chosen people? Because everything that they do and say and work for is anti-Christ and anti-Christian. And so the enemies of true Israel came out with a new Bible, and they call it the Living Bible. They have actually rewritten God's Word to say that which they want it to say in order to deceive the Israel people. Now, we read in the King James Version in Ephesians 2 this portion about the middle wall of partition, and we showed you last week that this meant the middle wall of partition between cast off and divorced hen-tribed Israel and the remaining wife, Judah, so that partition was broken down and the Israel people were grafted back in to Judah, making them one. The two sheepfolds were put back together. I want to read some of these verses in the King James, and then I want to read them in this so-called Living Bible, this Living Bible which is endorsed and distributed by such men as Billy Graham. In verse 13 and 14, I'll read in the King James first. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now notice in the King James that neither the word Jew nor the word Gentile is in verse 14. But you listen to what they have done with this in the Living Bible, Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. But now you belong to Christ Jesus, and though you once were far away from God, now you have been brought very near to him because of what Jesus Christ has done for you with his blood. Verse 14. For Christ himself is our way of peace. He has made peace between us Jews and you Gentiles by making us all one family, breaking down the wall of contempt that used to separate us. Now that's bad enough. This corruption called the Living Bible in these verses can only be inspired by Satan to imply that Jews and Christians are now one people. But they go right on. Now let me read the King James again, verse 15 and 16. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now remember, cast off 10-tribe Israel under God's law was divorced. And God had to die that she might be made a widow. And this is made plain in the prophets. And when Christ died on the cross, Israel was made a widow. Therefore, she could remarry, and of course she is, and was to be remarried to the resurrected God, Jesus Christ. Same bride, same wife. But listen to what the Living Bible does to those two verses. Verse 15. By his death, he ended the angry resentment between us caused by the Jewish laws which favored the Jews and excluded the Gentiles, for he died to annul that whole system of Jewish laws. Now, one thing, this is only half of the verse, and they've already annulled all of the laws of the Bible because most people think the laws of the Bible are Jewish laws. They go on. Then he took the two groups that had been opposed to each other and made them parts of himself. Thus he fused us together to become one new person, and at last there was peace. Verse 16. As parts of the same body, our anger against each other has disappeared, for both of us have been reconciled to God, and so the feud ended at last at the cross. In other words, Billy Graham and the modern preachers who use the Living Bible are now teaching through this that the Jews and the Christian Gentiles have been all gathered into one people, and there is no more feud between them. They are one through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, that's blasphemy. How in the world can the children of the devil be united with the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the children of God, through the work on the cross? Jesus Christ told the Jewish Pharisees, whom we've identified as Edomites, that they could not hear him. They would not hear his words, that they were not of his sheep. He said, ye are not of God. He said to them, ye are of your father, the devil. Now, brother, sister, I do not believe that many of our kingdom identity people actually realize what is being done with such a corruption and a deception as this thing called the Living Bible. Billy Graham printed at one time 2 million copies, and he gives them away free from his crusade and over his television. And he has endorsed this wholeheartedly. I understand it is the fastest-selling book in America today, coming up towards 10 million copies. Whole denominations are adopting this filthy corruption called the Living Bible. Now, in contrast to that, I want to give you a little picture of the truth of current history. In America today, Jewish doctors plot to kill millions of Texan babies through legalized abortion or murder. Jewish movies and television spread pornography, filth, and anti-American and anti-Christian propaganda into every home. Jewish professors on the campuses of our colleges and universities teach Marxism, communism, and raw sex to the children of our Saxon race. Jewish gangsters run gambling, liquor, drugs, and prostitution, destroying the bodies and lives of countless hundreds of thousands of our people. They tell us over 8 million of our people are alcoholics in America today. And Jewish judges turn the murderers, rapists, and thieves loose to prey upon our true Israel people in this land. In Washington, D.C., the Jewish appointees in our government are busily building up communism, stripping America of its wealth, disrupting our farms and our factories, and disarming our military and preparing to put us into a one-world communist government. And this is all hidden from our people by the Jewish control of the major newspapers, all television networks, and most radio networks, movies, and the publishing magazines, and other sources of information. And over all is the Jewish usurer, the banker and the moneylender, from the Rothschilds to the Rockefellers, and on down to the Jew who's president of your local bank, with his Babylonian money system making economic slaves of the Anglo-Saxon people of true Israel. And yet here we have a Bible distributed by the millions in America and endorsed by Billy Graham that says, by Christ's death he ended the angry resentment between us caused by the Jewish law which favored the Jews and excluded the Gentiles. For he died to annul that whole system of Jewish law. Then he took the two groups that had been opposed to each other and made them parts of himself. In other words, the Jews are now part of Christ. Just imagine what that says. Thus he fused us together to become one new person, and at last there was peace. As parts of the same body, our anger against each other has disappeared, for both of us have been reconciled to God, and so the feud ended at last at the cross. My fellow brethren in Israel, the feud between Esau and Jacob has not ended. The Esau, Edomite Jews, or the Red Jews are still attempting to complete their age-long battle to kill Jacob Israel. And they are successful in great part because these truths are hidden from our people, even to the extent of rewriting God's Word to deceive us with something they call the Living Bible. And these people, such as Billy Graham and these other people, are actually weapons in the Jewish war against Jacob Israel. Let me read something from another book. This is titled Roosevelt's Communist Manifesto, and the author is Emanuel Josephson. And he wrote this in 1955, over 20 years ago, and it is a detailed account of how Franklin Roosevelt brought the communists into the United States government in order to convert the United States of America into a communist government. And in explaining how some of these things work and how the American people are deceived, he writes about the Rockefellers. And under the section on the Rockefellers, he says this, quote, "Whenever under attack, the Rockefellers make such philanthropic gestures, particularly to religion. In the early part of this century, following the outraged outcry of the nation at the brutal Colorado fuel and iron massacre of their workers, they set up the Laura Spelman Rockefeller Memorial." And I should interject here for young people who don't know this, Rockefeller actually sent armed men into this area to strike, and these armed men actually shot and killed the workers. It was actually a massacre. And of course, there was a great public outcry. And then he says they do this in order to overcome the antagonism of their own murders. This Rockefeller Memorial was initially entirely devoted to charity and support of churches. But as soon as the public attention was diverted, its monies went to the support of subversion and the Illuminist communist conspiracy under the direction of Beardsley Rummel. They also launched Billy Sunday on his evangelical revivalism in that era, as they are now doing with Billy Graham. Weishaupt taught his followers well the value of using religion and philanthropy to cover for the conspiracy. The man has explained how whenever there was great trouble in the labor unions, the bankers would pay the cost of sending in Billy Sunday, just as today they send in Billy Graham to do what? Quiet the masses, get their eyes on heaven, take their eyes off the economic captivity under Mystery Babylon and the Babylonian money system. Now, I am criticized sometimes for picking on Billy Graham, but as far as I am concerned with the investigations I have made from what I see actually happening on the earth, Billy Graham was one of the major tools of the Antichrist system against God's true people, Israel, and it's about time we realized it. You know, I've heard for years, and you have too, that Karl Marx said, religion is the opiate of the people. Just raise your hands, I'm curious. How many of you have heard this? Religion is the opiate of the people. Well, years ago, when the anti-communists began to, quote, explain communism, unquote, to the American people, they used that phrase and they said, see, that means that the communists are against all religions. Well, stop and think for a moment. What does an opiate do? It puts people to sleep. It dulls their mind and their brain. And Karl Marx said, religion is the thing we can use to put the goyim to sleep and conquer the world. Now, I think our people do not realize that the doctrines taught in the so-called Christian churches today are the main force putting the American Israel people to sleep so they do not see Esau, Edomite, the Canaanite Jews coming to destroy us. You know as well as I do that you talk to some person who has been raised in one of the denominations and has spent 30 years going to the churches, you try to show him the truth that we are the Israel people and the enemies of God, the Canaanite Jews, are trying to destroy us, and they will not believe it. They say, oh no, the Jews are God's chosen people. Christ is going to come and set them up in a kingdom over in Palestine. The scripture is entirely turned around, upside down, and backwards. And by whom? By men coming in name of Christ and claiming to preach God's word. And I believe this man Joseph's son of 20 years ago apparently recognized that this religion that would be taught to us by the evangelists would come and deceive us and put us to sleep. The opiate of the people, and America is drugged by it. If you'll turn with me over to Revelation 18, most of you know this verse of Scripture and you understand its meaning, but I want to show you perhaps there's a little more in here. In the last part of Revelation 18, as we read of the destruction of Mystery Babylon, in verse 23, speaking of this Babylon, it says, "For thy merchants were the great men of the earth." Now, who would argue but that as a representative of the so-called Christian church, Billy Graham is one of the great men of the earth? "For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." The word sorceries there is from the Greek pharmakia, which means drugs, and I believe the false doctrines taught by the so-called denominational churches are actually drugs, opiates, which have drugged the minds of God's Christian Israel people so they cannot see the truth. In other words, they are deceived and put to sleep by the sorceries, the drugs of Mystery Babylon. All right, let's go back to John. "For Jesus Christ continued his teaching of the disciples up until his crucifixion and afterwards." And in John 21, at the very end of this gospel, now we've come all the way through from John 1, all the way to the end. This is after the resurrection. Let's see if Jesus changed his prophecies and his instructions as to who it was who was to be taught his word. Verse 1, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself." And then this tells about the fishing and so on. And then later, in verse 15, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter," and remember now, he's with his 11 Israelite disciples, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my lambs." He asked him the same question twice more, and Simon Peter answered him, and Jesus answered back, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep." In other words, "You disciples, feed my Israel people." And to whom did they go? They went to what we call the white race, the Anglo-Saxon Caucasian people of the Mediterranean and Europe. Did they obey Jesus to feed the sheep of Israel? Obviously they did. I was going to continue this study in the book of Acts, but I don't think I will, because it would take me another 3 or 4 weeks. And I am convinced that if anyone listens to what I have discussed so far and reads the Bible with me and still thinks the modern 20th century Jew is the child of the children of Israel, then there's no point in my discussing it any further anyway. So I won't use the book of Acts except to point out to you in Acts 11, in verse 26, after the first chapters show us that thousands upon thousands of Israelites were converted to become Christians, we read in Acts 11 and verse 26, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." In other words, over 1,900 years ago, the name of the Israel people, as they were converted to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, was changed from Judean or Jew to be called Christian. And they have been known by that name for over 1,900 years. This fulfilled Moses' prophecy in Numbers 6. Turn with me to that, because these verses of Scripture are used or quoted so often in churches, and they usually skip the last verse. Let's read all of them. Numbers 6, starting in verse 22. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, Now, before I read this, you think, to what people are these verses of Scripture read more than any other people on the face of the earth? Well, you know, they're read to the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred peoples, and these are the blessings that God was going to use to bless His Israel people. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now they usually stop there, but the next verse says, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Those verses alone should be enough to prove that the people of the world who are called the Christian peoples, the Christian nations, the Christian West, are the true children of Israel. We have had these things fulfilled in us. God's name has been named upon our nations. Turn to the prophet Isaiah. In chapter 62, chapter 63, and chapter 65, we are told that the name of the Israel people would be changed. In chapter 65, God speaks to the enemies of Israel in verse 14 and 15, and He says this, behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee, and call His servants by another name. The Israel people were to be called by a name other than the name of Israel. They were not to be known as Israel, and it would be obvious that that name would have to be the name of God, for He also said, the ministers would name my name on the children of Israel. And what people are called after Jesus Christ, the Christian people? Let's conclude in John 1 where we began. These are the verses. The first one of which is used by the Antichrist and the ungodly, the enemies in Israel, if you please, to read to our people and say, oh no, the Jews are Israelites, but they rejected Christ 1900 years ago. Verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And then they give out with what I called before the double lie, that the Jews rejected Christ 1900 years ago, therefore, since they are Israel, Israel rejected Christ 1900 years ago. And yet we have seen in the Gospel of John following this, page after page after page of promises and prophecy that it would be Israel which would become the followers of Christ filled with His Spirit and His witnesses across the face of the earth after the death and resurrection of Christ. And of course the next two verses explain verse 11. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. In other words, when He came to His own, which would have to include all of the seed of Abraham, a portion of them did not receive Him, but as many as did, He gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which would mean that would be the Christians today. And here's the division, verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Who was born of the will of the flesh, but Esau and his descendants? Esau deliberately left the house of his father to go and take Canaanite wives. And he married among the Canaanites, and his descendants were Edomites and Canaanites, known today as Jews. They were born of the will of the flesh. They have not been given the power to become the sons of God. But who was born of God? The descendants of Jacob Israel. This is the story all of the way through the Bible, that they would become the sons of God through the power of the blood of their Messiah and become the true Israel when they received the adoption. Now today we are told the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches us. And my friends in Christ, it's about time that someone spoke up and told these people that not only are the Jews not the chosen people, but they are actually the descendants of Esau, Edom, the Canaanites, and they are the enemies of Jacob, Israel. And they are using their power over us and their agents among us to corrupt us and destroy us if they can. But Jesus Christ has died, has broken the power of Satan. He has given Israel that which he promised, and we only await our cleansing. May the God of Israel open the blinded eyes of his people to his truth, that we may turn and join with our Israel brethren and follow Jesus Christ as he has said. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the promises that thou hast given us, and we pray in the name of Jesus that you will help our Israelite brethren see these truths, that they may see that everything you have promised has come to pass, and therefore we can believe you right on into the kingdom and in eternity to come. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.